All right, Bonnie Gani, everyone. This is Professor Amon-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, where I taught for 34 years from 1970 to 2004. We want to welcome you here to the Conscious Corner. Really, it's a spinoff from the Black Consciousness Conference. As a matter of fact, we're going to change the name from Conscious Corner to Black Conscious Corner to keep it real. But at the same time, I'm a former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. I want to just say how happy I am to see all the former students and the professionals now and doing their thing, and all the guests that have come to give homage and respect and honor to one of our foremost leaders during the 80s. It may have been the late 70s, all the way through the early 80s. And that's Brother, I saw Jerry Davis, but some call him another name. But he is one of the hallmarks of leadership within our spectrum of Black consciousness at Cal State Long Beach, where along with a number of the students that's on tonight formed the Black Studies Student Association, as well as the Black Student Union, and helped create the Black Consciousness Conference that's still going, as well as we're very essential in keeping EOP going, educational opportunity, Upward Bound, and keeping Black Studies alive, period. We wouldn't have been able to maintain Black Studies without their relentless steadfastness and putting pressure on the administration and also encouraging the students to get involved in double majors as well as minor and majors into the department. And they're really the reason why Black Studies, which is now Africana Studies, is still going strong. And I just want to commend each and every one of the students and former students that's on tonight. We have a very, very, very festive, what I call celebratory program tonight. And I'm going to turn it over to the master of ceremony, or the person that will be, he always was our number one master of ceremony at the programs when he was at Cal State Long Beach because of his just beautiful style and class in which he operates and organizes and present things, and that is Brother Richard Fareed. We call him Brother Fareed, King Fareed. He got so many beautiful names. We just love him for him just being him. And he's going to recognize people who have comments. We want to welcome also any of Brother Jerry Davis' siblings or children that's on tonight, telling how much we love Jerry and still hold him in his memory. African proverb said, as long as you remember, you live spiritually within the mind. We recognize that our brother is a glorious spirit in heaven, but he maintains a powerful presence here on earth. And he's an ancestor now, and he sits at the table of the righteous and those that are committed to nothing but good in the world and beauty into the world. And we know that this brother lives within our hearts and minds because of his contribution and his work ethic and the creativity that he exemplified while he was a student at Cal State Long Beach and why he went on to become a professional in the world of music when he left Long Beach, Cal State Long Beach. Him, along with Michael Williams, and then Sister Jen Jay, Mashariki, Rose Davis, just so many students that have gone on to Dr. Allen, Rose Allen, I'm sorry. She went to her PhD. She have a TV show in Colorado and strong. I mean, so many of you have gone on to do so many great things. Brother Fareed goes all over the country helping people set up business plans to deal with automobile cars and things. So many, and Jen Jay just rocked the reggae, her and her family, and Masharika is still saying we are the children. The children are our future. She's still doing her thing. And so we're going to turn it over to Brother Fareed. And we want to welcome Brother Shaq Daddy, who's on the set, and all the other individuals that are here. And Brother Michael Williams, we can't say enough about you, brother. You and Jerry was like glue together. Every time I saw one, I saw the other one.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I really appreciate you guys putting this together. This is something really special. And he did set it off for us all. For me and Charles since the fifth grade. So we can give you a real historical point of view. But Long Beach, I think with his leadership and how he just attracted all of us together, it just established endearing friendships and relationships that we're more like brothers and sisters for real.
Okay, hold on for a minute.
Yeah.
Hold on,
We still have a relationship decades later. No, I'm not going. I'm
got stories to tell and
going.
relationships there. But we're going to turn it over to Fareed, and he will recognize each person to speak. Brother Fareed, you got it.
Thank you, sir. We want to definitely communicate with everybody that's here and everybody an opportunity to share. This is a great podcast subject matter. This is a great evening because a lot of us have taken the time to be together once again. And again, that means we have decades underneath us of proven loyalty, proven worth, proven value to one another and to all those that have come before. So first off, I say thank you all for coming and participating in this podcast this evening. And Professor Raw, you left off a few names. You have titles and experience, but you left off a few. One, he was a hell of a basketball player when he went to Long Beach State. Y'all don't know that, but you do now. In addition, we call him Professor Raw because of the mentorship that he gave to many of us, the guidance and direction and the love he poured into us to make sure that we were better and came out of Long Beach State better than we found ourselves going in. So again, thank you for everybody being here, those who are on line with us now and those who may join us later. So we don't have an overall structure and commitment to doing anything other than enjoying one another. In fact, that is the only requisite for this evening, that you enjoy yourself and sharing remembrances for our brother and great spirit and a good fellow, Jerry Najah Jabari Davis. So each and every one of you has history with Jerry Davis as well as each other. And Dr. Rose, we call you Sister Rose too because we love you. So we're going to do that. But overall, I want to make sure everybody has a chance to chime in. We've got a 90-minute finite timeline, but that still should provide time for everybody to share and share alike. So the first thing I want us to tackle as a group, and let's talk about the collective experiences and all the things that we were able to achieve and do and experience overall while at Long Beach State, because that's the forerunner of us being together and still being together now. So let's talk about your experiences, your contact, your introductions with Jerry Najah Jabari Davis, and then we'll progress from there into this professional life. So we want to do an expose and lift him up and at the same time reconnect with one another. So we're going to learn some things about him we didn't know. We're going to smile and laugh at a few other things we didn't know and now remember. So with that said, who wants to chime in first about, and first off, thank you again on behalf of my colleagues, Barry Thomas and Maishariki Ramey, as well as Professor Raw, who helped put this thing together. So who wants to chime in first with regards to Jerry Davis and your experiences with him at Long Beach State?
Brother Richard, let's let Michael finish his point, and then go ahead, Mike.
Really didn't. I just wanted to thank you guys for putting it together. I didn't mean to usurp it or jump the gun here. Listen, I want the people. I think, just my opinion. Let the people that first met him at Long Beach debate speak, because I want to talk historically from the fifth grade forward. And so, if you're going to start at Long Beach State, Rose and Ayana, Jinjay, I think they should be good to chime in at the top of this, and start us off.
How you met him, what sort of things you can recall, good experiences, even some of the challenges you may have faced together.
Well, I'll start. This is Rose, and I met Jerry through the BSU, Danifu and Robert Johnson, and they were all pulling us in. And I became president, and Jerry became vice president. And at the same time, we were starting the Black Consciousness Conference. So we just bonded around all of that. I mean, his enthusiasm, his eagerness to work. You know that saying that we can get a whole heck of a lot done if nobody care who gets the credit? He didn't
Right.
care about the credit. He cared about the work. And he was always willing to do whatever it took. And you remember back in those days, we had to go pick people up from the airports and let them stay with us. And Jerry always opened up his apartment. We didn't have homes back then, and was willing to pick people up. I was just looking through my date book. I still keep my date books way back from that time, and picking up Queen Mother Moore and picking up Kwame
Wow.
Ture. And yes, and in 2 weeks. Queen Mother Moore, Kwame Ture, Gil Scott-Heron, just, I mean, we were exposed. And I think we were just all in awe of the opportunities that Professor Raw exposed us to and just being present. That's all, just working hard, our bake sales. Anybody remember those bake sales? You know, Jerry would always run to get the donuts, and we would stay between those two buildings and selling donuts. I mean, just what I remember most is just the hard work, but also the care and compassion. I mean, and it's so evident in who we are today. The last time I saw Jerry was when Michael had his friend's party, and I am forever thankful for that party when Michael brought us all together. But when you think about, here we are 40 years later, and we still love each other, we still care about each other, and we still stay in touch. And it's just a testament of who we are. And seeing Jerry that day and taking pictures and creating fond memories, they will last forever.
Beautiful said.
Absolutely. Jen Jay, what say you? I see you over there smiling.
Greetings, greetings, one love to everybody. Greetings in the name of everything good. I am so honored to be here this evening amongst this greatness. Ooh, don't you? Oh,
I know, aren't
yes.
the wonderful people are here right now.
Wow, this is what I'm saying. And to honor Jerry, this is wonderful. Really wonderful. And I feel him. I feel him, yes.
When did you meet him?
I'm thinking I met all y'all. Fareed, Mashariki, Jerry, my first day at Cal State University, Long Beach. My first class was with Amin-Ra. And I think it was Principles of the Black Athlete or Psychology of the Black Athlete.
Exploitation of black athletes.
Yes.
There you
And at the end of that class, Mashariki sat up and sang, and that was it. It was on and popping. Professor Raw had just returned from the State of the Race Conference. What is the State of the Race Conference? I didn't understand. Well, he made it clear. He spoon-fed us and made us feel so proud that we had each other. At least that's how I felt, that we had each other. And even after leaving Long Beach State, we and when Jerry was at ASCAP, we had a meeting with reggae artists at ASCAP to understand and to discuss publishing. And we had some phenomenal reggae artists there, legendary artists there that didn't understand the ones and twos. And he afforded us the opportunity to sit up in those ASCAP offices and brought in David Catechau.
Yeah, you end up doing some business with him afterwards. Fantastic.
Oh, Wailing Souls did. The Wailing Souls ended up doing some business with David Catechau. And that was because of Jerry. That was because of Jerry. Yeah, so from Long Beach State, leaving and afterwards, Yeah, look at me. Ooh, look, I was so cute then. Look at that. Yes, we were all young and fresh. Sure. In that picture, I'm standing next to Jerry with the hat on is Santa Davis, a very, very influential drummer in the reggae industry. He
Okay.
plays he playing with Ziggy Marley now.
Okay. Well, Jerry loved all types of music, so I'm sure it'd be easy to engage him in a conversation regarding any type of music, particularly that which is going to feed his soul and spirit, which was, where he really dwelled. Buenos Aires.
Hey now, how's it going?
It's been a long time. Look at you. Long time. I know
Yeah.
you had something you really wanted to share with the group that really touch you and affect you. So by all means, share.
This is Mashariki's fault that I'm here. There you go. She was here, I think it was, or we were on the phone one time. We were talking about Jerry, and I was relating to her a story that I remembered. But I started Long Beach State, 1979. I was 17 years old. I didn't know nothing about anything. I was just happy to be out of my parents' house. We weren't taught anything about Black consciousness. I mean, even though our folks were from the South, they just didn't talk about it. And so when I got to Long Beach State, it was just I don't it was confusing, but at 17 you leave home and you are on your own. And I met Jerry and Mashariki and Barry and Jinjay. Jinjay and Mashariki and I had a class together and they invited me to go to the Black Student Union and to join the BSU. And I was working in the where the bowling out the student union.
Okay.
And they would come through there and I'm like, what is this about? And so I remember the energy and the conferences. I mean Haki Madhubuti, who knew that? I guess for somebody like me, it's like, I'm just watching everything. But I remember that Jerry wanted us to go to the movies. And he took
Uh-oh.
us.
Here comes the tea.
He took us. It was me, and I know Barry for sure. I think Fareed was there, maybe Michael. There was a bunch of us, and he took us to see Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I remember.
I remember
Barry
that
was
one.
so disgusted. Jerry got up and he started doing the time warp. And he knew all the steps and all the words to the song. And we were like looking at him like and looking at each other. I was like, how many times has he been here?
Several.
It was hilarious. And that has been one of my favorite movies for years. But his energy was infectious, his drive. We lost touch after I left Long Beach State, but then we hooked back up. I think was he living at your house, Mashariki, or
We were roommates.
yep. And I came over there and stayed for the weekend one time, and it was like, it was cool. And then I think he was up here one time in the Bay Area, and we talked about a few things, but it was just a moment in time that for me, that's what Long Beach State was all about. It was about all of us being together. It was about the ups and downs, who was mad at who, or just hanging out and at Jerry's house and everybody smoked weed but me. And just being there and just being around so much wisdom and knowledge, I thought everybody was just like, wow, they're so smart. They know so much. But it stuck with me, and I became a semi quasi revolutionary in my own time, meeting Amin Ra. I would come by his office just for a hug because you always needed one, meeting and not knowing who Maulana Karenga was. I mean, I had never heard of him. and all these people. It shaped my life, and it's helped me shape my children's lives. My son goes to Morehouse. He thinks he's a little mini revolutionary now. Yeah, he's doing great things there as a student. And it was pivotal. It was pivotal for me. And I really, to this day, owe him a lot. And Barry, and my Shariki and Jinjay for all the things that they taught me and the patience that they had with me, because I was wild and loose, I admit it. But it helped me also to raise my own daughters and to talk and have consciousness and to have conversations with them and my sons. So I really appreciate everything that Jerry had and the impact that he had on my life.
Thank you, Ms. Sophie, but no snitching on the weed smokers.
I know, that's right.
That was then. That was then. We know you're not doing that now.
Doing?
Yes, I'm all right, and I'm so happy to see everybody, celebrating Jerry, who was bigger than life. Being from the Bay Area, I don't really remember when I first met him. It must have been on campus, but I think he had crossed paths with my brothers too at some time. But Jerry was he was always up. It was like nothing was really impossible. We could do this no matter what it was, and he was up for it no matter what it was. And afterwards, I did get a chance to be a roommate with him for some years. I think I wasn't a roommate when we did ASCAP. I think he was just working for ASCAP, and we thought it would be a good idea to educate reggae musicians on what ASCAP is and how important it is if they're songwriters to, get that money and know how to. So for to see him go from there to where he was really had his foot in the music industry. On his way, I think while he was working with ASCAP still, he used to have fight parties when Michael Tyson was fighting at his house. And he would invite friends in the industry. No one could talk about any business of the music. Everybody was supposed to come there, have a good time, eat, and hopefully you get more than 5 minutes of seeing Michael Tyson fight. Because in those days, it was preliminary. It took a lot of time. We eating and drinking, and then when it's ding ding in 5 seconds and 5 minutes, the person could be knocked out. So
Don't go to the restroom.
that was always a lot of fun. And I think the very last time I saw Jerry a couple of times, his mother had moved here, and we I think Jerry Jabal was a guest on a Raw's podcast, and Jerry and I started talking about some more little projects that we could do to show some of the tapes that we've had from the Consciousness Conference, which was the most incredible education that we received. I look at all the different people that go to schools all over America. We call it, predominantly black schools or, a black population in a white school. It doesn't matter. I think we really had an incredible education that was well-rounded and grounded, that to this day makes it possible for us to still be in contact with one another like family. And I think that's the most greatest thing that Jerry was a part of, that he encouraged, and I just really miss seeing him because he was really
Legacy.
a fun person.
Legacy. All right.
Yes, legacy for sure.
All right. Well, thank you for that. There's nothing better than speaking to Margarita right now.
Can you hear me?
You have a different level of relationship, don't you, with Jerry?
I
When you
do. Well, I want to talk about when Jerry moved back up to the Bay Area. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And I was living in San Francisco, and Jerry was living with his mom in Albany. And so I used to go over there. We used to hang out with each other. And so I went over there one time, and he wasn't home yet. And his mother answered the door. And Mrs. Davis, and so she says, "Oh, Jerry's not home yet." She says, "But you can wait with me." She goes, "I'm going grocery shopping. I want you to come with me." I said, "Okay, I'll go grocery shopping with you." So I go grocery shopping with her, and she's getting all her groceries and stuff, and we're talking away about Jerry and how much she loves him, and she's concerned about him sometimes because he's so into so many different things, but she's proud of him. And then she's looking at me and she's saying, "Margarita," she says, "are you and my son more than friends?" And I, "Oh, no, Mrs. Davis." I go, "We're just really good. We're good. We're buddies. We're really good friends." And she goes, "Oh," she says, "I am so disappointed." She says, "Because I really want my grandchildren to all look alike." And I said, "Oh, Mrs. Davis." Because his sister, you know, was married to a Latino and so already had a grandchild, right? And she wanted them to all be the same color. I just laughed. I said, "Oh, Mrs. Davis." So she goes, "Oh, that's too bad. You don't think?" I said, "No, it's not going anywhere. We're just going to be buddies. That's it." Right. And then another memory I have of Jerry is, again in San Francisco, he would call me up, you know, periodically during the week, just to see how he was doing. We would check in with each other, and because he was always busy, and he called me up one day, and he goes, "Margarita, guess what day is today?" And I said, "I don't know what day is today, Jerry. What's today? I don't know." And he goes, "It's hump day." I just started cracking up. "Jerry, it's hump day. I'm so glad that it's hump day." Right? And he would just come out with these silly things, you know, just to make me laugh and crack up. And he was just a sweetheart, you know. And at Long Beach State, I remember him and Michael were two peas in a pod, just glued at the neck. I mean, they were just glued together. It always seemed like to me. And it was like they were like a ball of energy, just run into the office of co-op and of Epic and do their job. You know, they would come in, change the radio station, start dancing, and then get into their work. Remember that, Michael? You guys always had to dance
Love.
all the time, all the
Good
time.
times, good times.
Good times, yeah. Always brought a positive energy into our office, yeah. And so, yes, Jerry is definitely missed. Yeah. So that's what I wanted to say about Jerry.
Well, if you feel like something else you want to contribute as we go forward, by all means. So, Brother Lionel, it's y'all. Good looking picture there, man.
Yes, sir,
Lionel.
brother. Yes,
Hey,
sir,
brother.
brother. Right here, black man.
Yes, sir.
Greetings to everybody. Jerry and I, we met, I think, when I first got to Long Beach. I immediately embraced the black student movement. Coming out of Oakland, coming out of the Black Panther era, I just, my mom wanted to keep me away from, blackness like that. Black movement, because people in Oakland, Black Panthers were being shot in the back and people were being shot straight up. And she didn't want to see me be a statistic like that. I remember she never would let me have a leather coat until I got me a summer job and I bought my first black leather coat. But anyway, I digress. We all got together. There was a we had an event. A Black Expo. I believe it's the Black Expo. And that's when I met everybody. Was the original part of that, Mashariki and Jerry, and everybody was a part of that, Rose. And we put on this like a little,
Ayana.
what was it?
I said, and Ayana.
And Yana, you was a part of that too. Okay, right on. And yeah, we would all get together. It was another brother named Ali who had this big car, and we would all ride in it because a lot of us didn't have cars and couldn't get around. And I really just supported the black movement. I mean, I had to embrace my people coming to a predominantly white institution. I mean, I'm looking for my people. And Jerry was one of the first people that I met, and we embraced the black student movement. And I stood by that brother in his leadership amongst all of you, all of the sisters, Rose and Jinjay. As president of the Black Student Union, I was always going to be there standing with you and supporting you. And I have a picture here of when me and Jerry, when you know how Minister Farrakhan would have his soldiers standing with him.
Oh my gosh.
When Jerry would be at the podium,
Yeah.
I would stand on one side with him, and Doug would be on the other side. We was always standing with the brother because we believed that black men needed to be stood with and supported. Because it was been sisters have been in the leadership of the Black Student Union, and Jerry was one of the first brothers who became the BSU president. And so for that reason, it was very important that black men take the lead. And I want to stand with that brother in his leadership, and I appreciate the brother for that. And after the net, he became BSU president And then after he left, I became the Black Student Union president after that. So those were some of my memories with the brothers and all of you. It's been tremendous and great. And I have much love and respect for all of you. And thank you, Professor Ra and Brother Fareed and everybody who's on here for your input in my life.
You're more than welcome. And you've paid it back tenfold. So let's move on now, and let's speak to a servant leader who was there for a good many of us, but had quality time with Jerry and Michael and a few others, and that is you, Ruby. Is she with us?
Maybe she's on mute.
Ruby! Yoo-hoo! I think she's working on it right now. We may have to come back to it. Whenever you find your footing, Ruby, let us know. We got you. All right.
I'm here.
You there?
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you.
Can you hear me now? Yes, we can.
Okay, this is great. I first want to say I love this beautiful picture that's being displayed of Jerry. That smile, those eyes, it's just like he was right here, right now. Jerry worked with me. He worked in the EPIC program, Educational Participation in Communities. How many of you remember EPIC?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know, I just remember all the positivity that Jerry brought with him. He's very kind, courteous, dependable, intelligent, he was just very much an outstanding young man. I was impressed with Jerry, Michael, and all the young men that were involved with working with students. Jerry was a student coordinator at EPIC. And the main responsibility was recruiting college students to work as volunteers in the schools, elementary, junior high schools, to inform them about Black history. And he and Michael worked very well together, as pointed out earlier. They were just, you know, very close. They did a fantastic job. And it started out small. You know, they bring in a few students, but those numbers grew. And they were able to expand the programs to different schools in the Long Beach Unified District. It's been a long time. I think maybe it went beyond Long Beach Unified, but that's primarily the area that was covered. And the numbers began to increase eventually with Professor Ra getting involved. He believed in what we were doing, and he very eagerly began to, after, you know, doing some paperwork and so forth, offer academic credit to students who were doing their volunteer work. And that really increased the numbers in the EPIC program. And that, you know, eventually it expanded to other departments other than the BSU groups and just other students. I remember on many occasions, Jerry would just pop in when he wasn't working and just say, I just stopped by to say hello and to see if you needed anything. And he always had that great Jerry smile. And one of the things I remember that I think about from time to time, and when I would see Jerry, I would always remind him that one day he came by, and I don't know how the conversation began, but he said, I would like for you to start calling me Jerry D. Davis. I don't know what Jerry's middle name was, how that tied in, I can't remember. But Jerry D. Davis, we laughed about it. And from then on, whenever I saw Jerry, I did call him Jerry D. Davis. with that emphasis, sometimes I felt like I should say Mr. Jerry D. Davis. It was a great time. Michael and Jerry brought a lot of positivity to the office. And it was often said by Hal and several other people that, you know, when they came in, it was just a fun feeling, togetherness, family. And they were just always very positive, had great ideas, and they were a great contribution to the EPIC program and eventually the co-op program, but primarily the EPIC program. So I just remember Jerry's big hugs and him being a leader, and miss him so very, very much. And I'm glad I had an opportunity to be able to share.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
oh yeah. You said something that's profound that I think encapsulate literally this whole group and our whole Long Beach collective. Because as young people at the time that we came together and found each other, I think all of us in some way were looking for our voice in society, our place in society, our understanding of the world around us to be able to
Okay.
make sense of it. I really believe that. So and Jerry was definitely a big part of that, as well as a lot of the people that are on this podcast tonight. So
Yes.
that's very real,
I
very
agree
real.
with you.
Yes.
Good.
So Ayana sitting there all comfortably, when Ayana's one of the ones that kicks up more dust than anybody. We like
Thank
it. We welcome it. It's good dust, just like good trouble.
you for that, Reed.
There.
Hi, good afternoon or good night to everybody, depending on where you are. And Professor Min Ross, special hello to you. I don't think we have talked for, it's been a minute, but much respect, and thanks for so much. As you are kind of the nucleus of all of us right here. And I think that's certainly says a lot. So thank you for that. For those that I don't know on this, because there are a few people I don't know, I'm originally from Jamaica. And when I came here directly to Cal State Long Beach from Jamaica in 1978. I will say, just to give you some perspective on this, we never learned. My awakening to, I guess, some of the challenges here was being in the Westminster Mall when I just first came here. I could have been in the first month, I don't quite remember, and I heard the word nigger. And for me, that was, what is that? That was my awakening, because I had no clue
It's good.
about the challenges, the history. Unfortunately, in Jamaica, we learned all this other stuff, European history, all this other history, but they really, which is unfortunate, and that's something I always talk about and feedback back home, we never learned all the challenges, what was happening here. And so, keeping that perspective in mind, for me, I was just green, beyond green. And in meeting Jerry and really going head first and full into what we worked on with the Black Consciousness Conference, I will remember, him providing a lot of education. I remember meetings in that, Barry can probably talk to this. We were up on campus all the way in some back room. I'm remembering that now. And we all sat there for hours and hours at night, creating when we actually put on that first Black Consciousness Conference. So I remember myself, Jerry, Barry can say who else was up there, but I that was kind of the nucleus of how we started doing that. I was extremely involved, I think, for the first 2 years. I think my whole nature of being a rebel came from that initial experience and all of the things that I learned from Jerry and from being involved with, of course, Dr. Min Ra and Malana Karanga. But as an innocent, for me, it was like I was just absorbing everything. I couldn't get enough. I just couldn't get enough, because for me, this was whoa. And so I was ex it, you know, Jerry really represents the revolution for me that I needed, the education, the nucleus to really working with and being exposed in so many different ways. And of course, you all know, in all those early years, we had the terrible issue with Ron Settles. I mean, there was a lot happening on campus where we had, I'm sure, I don't know, Mashariq, if you guys were at that point, I think so, but we had a lot of key things. So I am grateful for Jerry for that and being so involved in kind of helping me to really get a better understanding. And for all of those, Barry, and all of the stuff I got involved with BSU, because I think they're the ones that pushed me to get into the classes and do a lot with that to really to understand where I was and what that meant to be Black in America. Because before coming to here, to the U.S., I this may sound totally ignorant, but there was nothing ever that you were referred to as being Black. It was something that I grew up with, never thought about until I was 18 and got here and was called a nigger. So I am so grateful for that. I am grateful to Jerry. I will deviate slightly, 1978, just on a timeline. He took me up to San Francisco. And he jokes about it. Rose, I think he was making a joke about this when we all got together at Michael's house. And I was exposed to the first gay pride. Well, it wasn't the first, but that was a big one that they had at that time. I forget what issue was, but it was a huge parade. And poor Jerry had me up there in the middle of that. It was a Gay Freedom Day. I think that time there was an issue with the California Proposition 6 in the break. So it was a huge folks out. And I just remember being exposed to that and going, because I'd never seen anything like that before. Jared was trying to educate me and I was like, oh my God. I just remember being in a little bit of a shock, but again, my naivety. And so, you know, years later, like it was the last time we had fun, Jerry was joking about what my reaction is, and we can laugh about that. I will say that Jerry cared about people. He passionately cared. If you were his friends, you had some issues going on. Personally, he was very much there. I remember probably 4 months in or 5 months in and being here, and again, you know, being here, I staying with some family, but again, I'm trying to navigate the environment, and I had an issue where I had to find somewhere very quickly to live. And it was a very, you know, serious situation for me that I had to do. And that, I forget, it was 4 months in of being here, 5 months. And Jerry took it up on himself to find me somewhere. I'll never forget that. That was a pivotal time for me. He was kind enough to make those calls. I think he worked for him, and I ended up, those of you that remember Ismena. But I give thanks for that, because that was a time that I really needed it, and Jerry was definitely there. I remember us at the Epic. I remember all of the, I was a part of that family, and we had a family there. So I started off for the receptionist. I was really involved with co-op. But all of the nucleus of the things, and I thank Hal is not on, as several of you know, he suffered a stroke, but he was not on, and Ruby, that we all grew together as a family. That was a family unit for us, you know, Michael and Jerry, myself, Margarita was there. There were several others, but we were able to bond together. There was always, when we were feeling down or the struggle, you know, there was hope, and he provided that. Michael provided that. It was just, I was blessed. I was truly blessed to really have that unit that we had, because it was such a safety zone, and it was such a zone of encouragement in a time when, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on, you know, in the movement and stuff like that. So it was really, and it was growth, you know, it was definitely growth, but I'm truly, truly grateful for that. I will also say that we, you know, years later after, you know, Jerry has left, and we've always stayed family with a few of us. We may not talk for 20 years, and that's not true, because we talked, Jerry was, but 5 years, 4 years. and everybody just gathers together like it was just yesterday. So I'm grateful for all the times that for the different events that we've had. I will point out that my son, Johans, went and did an internship. Johans did an internship and called Jerry up, and he took him in at Fox with no problem and helped to nurture him and shape some of the things of where he is right now. So grateful for that. I will say also, there was another situation where I had a friend in need, and it was up in San Francisco, and I really needed help. And the only person I could think to call was Jerry. And I called Jerry because I couldn't be there. And I was like, hey, I need help. And here's the deal. I think it might have been 10 o'clock at night. And Jerry, no problem, got up and went and helped me, and got that person and took care of it, did that all confidentially, took care of what I needed. And it was just amazing that, you know, and text me, we're all good, so-and-so and so, and followed up. So that was the kind of, that was the kind of friendship that we had, and the commitment, even the, and that was maybe like 6-7 years ago, you know. And I when he moved down here, I think Mashariq and I, we were all saying, okay, this is great. We're going to plan to get together and we're going to do this and do that. I was on that last podcast that he did with Dr. Raw, and, you know, talking about the different things, projects. And so it all just came as a shock because it was just, he had just settled here. But as we know, nobody, you know, counts for time. So we live our lives, and Jerry lived his life. And so grateful for all the things that he contributed, but the really special person that he was, and he lives, I think, within all of our hearts, certainly lives within mine. And that's it. Thank you for letting me share.
Nice. Nice.
Excellent. Excellent. He definitely left a legacy, and the people on this podcast are part and parcel of Jerry's legacy in terms of how he connected with, impacted, and offered himself up as a resource for literally everyone that's here. So when I think of him personally, I smile because I've had many intimate discussions with him and many outright discussions with him, even debates with him, but always whether we disagreed or didn't disagree, he was never disagreeable to me. So I value that. And for me, when I came from Inglewood to Long Beach State in 78, and I came in with Danifu, he got me into Long Beach State, and I started meeting you people. I didn't know what woke was. I didn't know what Black consciousness was. It wasn't discussed also in my home. We weren't against it, but we just didn't talk about that sort of thing. So when I got to Long Beach, I started getting around you people, and you guys started talking about the things you were talking about and visualizing the world the way you were visualizing it. To me, that was a lightning bolt in my head. And what how I referenced it is, or characterize it, I say, my brain was actually turned on when I met all of you. And when I sat in Dr. Raw's class, it was turned on, and I actually started really using it then. Whereas before, as Michael might characterize, I was a Peter Pan floating along. But it changed for me at Long Beach. It changed an awful lot to the extent that I started caring about more than myself, thinking about much more than myself and my small insular world. And Jerry was a big part of that because I connected with him a lot, and he's one of the first ones I met. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Charlie and Mike, I believe I met him before the two of you. And I'm not sure if it was Jerry, Mike, or it was you that invited me over to the house when the three of you stayed in the house and you were making those famous pancakes.
That crazy house.
Yeah, I think it might have been Jerry that brought me there first. And I've never left. Yeah. I've never left. Hey, I see you there, POTUS. We're going to get to you.
Fareed, yeah. I was just going to say one thing. Sorry. It was just stunned. I remembered. Remember, we all had the name-changing ceremony.
Yes.
Remember, because for other people, my legal name is not Ayano. My legal name is something else. But we had that name, African name-changing ceremony there, which was pretty pivotal. Yes. And some of us kept those names. I know Jerry was involved in that. And that was really a key thing that I think between that, I think Dr. Amin-Ra was involved in that. I mean, I'm trying to think who else. I don't remember if Karanga was involved in that. But we Jerry Jabal was involved in that. Yeah.
Seth Salo too.
Yeah. That all came out of Black consciousness. That all came out to that when we were just, you know, so yeah, I just remembered that. But we did have that Black Consciousness Conference. A Black Consciousness changing of our names. Yeah.
And also, I just want to
say that for me, I remember that situation happening when Hakeem passed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Urban Hakeem.
Yes. Hakeem was the one would tell us we have to get rid of that slave name. And I said, oh, no, I like my name. And Hakeem passed. And wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jerry
Jabbar was Naja Jabari.
Yeah, Naja Jabari. That's what it was. That's what I was trying to remember.
Kareem's name is unique. And we had to cut a piece of our hair. And he cut a piece of his thing there. What's it called?
Beard, goatee, something.
Your goatee, yes. That was unique. That I'll never forget.
Yeah.
Boya Safe, Mashiriki.
I do want to say I've been dropping pictures in the chat box. Some of you have seen them, but if you want to download to keep them, please do.
Yes. Yeah, Fareed was born there. Was absolutely born. I didn't arrive in Long Beach as Fareed, but I definitely was. Fareed was born there. The consciousness was born there. The human being was reborn there.
Very nice.
From who I had been prior. So, and Jerry and Michael and Charlie and everybody here that knows about that was a big part of that. So you're right. As we were evolving as young folks, looking for our space and our voice and all that, that was very pivotal to a good meaning. Even if we don't go by it formally, we still acknowledge it and can be acknowledged by it.
Absolutely.
And it means something.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You know, following up on something Ayana said about Jerry, no matter what time or what you needed, you reached out. Because my last conversations I was having with him, I was talking to him about my children. And my sons who have a little reggae group, and he was like, yeah, okay, Jinjay, I'm going to get back to you. I know that you already reached out to Michael, but that's all right. I'm going to see what I can do. I said, well, hey, you know, we trying to do a thing, family, and we laughed. And then he was gone. Just like that. I mean, it was like, 30 years hadn't passed. 40 years hadn't passed. Because it was like 40 years, you know. I mean, I was a size 9. To give you a visual of what was happening back then.
TMI.
All right, we're going to move past the Long Beach State Pier unless you just want to offer some up, which is fine. Let me give you a quick sidebar. One of the things that it didn't irk me. It was funny at the time, although I get a little frustrated, and that was being a young and impoverished college student, as many of us were, when we had resources, all of us would openly and amply share those resources. One of those resources that we shared was my green car, my Datsun B210. I'd be walking on campus, and I'd see somebody drive by in my car. It's not stolen. I give the keys to Jerry. They'll end up with Mike or end up with Charlie or Ayana, whomever. I'd ask, where's my car at the end of the day? It was just one of those things that we shared that just worked for us. So everybody was able to, quote unquote, put something in the pot, even though we didn't have anything. And that was also part and parcel that made us have the base love that we have for each other still extends to today.
And yeah. Brother Fareed. Yeah. I got to run to another Zoom call, but I just want to make a comment regarding that Rocky Horror Picture Show. I know some of y'all remember that when I went to it for the first time with that group
of drink people.
Yeah,
drink.
I know y'all remember
the drink. Threw a drink on this person.
He threw the drink.
He threw the drink.
Sure did. They're ruining their face.
I walked down the aisleway and a white girl took a water gun and squirted me in my face. And I had a big soda and I just doused her.
Yes, in their you face. Did.
I know y'all remember that.
Soon as she looked at her, that's the first thought.
Yeah. But I didn't know what to expect, but it was great. Great memories with all y'all. So. Professor Raw, Michael, Jerry, I mean, Charles, Yana, Mashariki, everybody, I love y'all, and I got to go into another meeting. Thank you, Fareed.
Thank you, thank you for being.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I want to move on, and this time I'm going to invite Mike and Charlie to get in. And Charlie have unique history with Jerry before arriving into Long Beach, before we considered to be woke and evolved to that point. So I want you guys to talk about some of the early days before coming to Long Beach. This gives us a framework on Jerry's developing character before getting into the Long Beach, you know, a family. And then anything else you want to share during the Long Beach window, and just open the floor to you.
Charlie, you want to go first?
You, me
go.
Appreciate you, man. Go for it, Mike. You were kind of already on some. I'm kind of laying back, just enjoying watching everybody and listening to all these stories. It's bringing back so many memories, and you know, yeah. So go ahead, man. I'm still processing.
But this is. Listen, I had the honor to spend most of my life since the fifth grade with Jerry and Charles. That's when I met the both of them. And then, so when I, since Jerry's passing and in my thoughts and my memories, you kind of like take this whole life and I see some of the same qualities that he showed as a fifth grader that he showed in college. And the highlights of those things is, first, he was extremely inquisitive. All right. And from that, from being inquisitive, he would learn something or experience something, and he would commit to get commitment. He would have to learn it, have to live it, have to understand it. And then there was this passion about it that once he's learned it, he had to share it or uplift it or do something. And the greatest attribute was his loyalty. And I'll give you an example. We back in the fifth, sixth grade, we get a new toy. We get a new bike or something. And he'd learn everything he could do about it and didn't share it and didn't show and didn't come back. And it was that energy with everything. And so I think the reason that he's left such a legacy for us at Long Beach State is those same qualities. We did not, like Fareed, enter Long Beach State woke. I'm sure all you guys remember when I was used to go to Amon Ra class, Amon Ra was the one who gave me the name Disco Mike. Because I was partying, I was throwing parties, I was doing something, and they're like, okay, Disco Mike, you're gonna come out of the club and the whole world is gonna be destroyed. so there, that's where my head was. But then the difference was, Jerry and I were experiencing these words, these lessons and history at the same time, but it was hitting us different. I knew I wanted to be in the music business. Everything around me, everything I experienced, I took it in, I learned it, I could appreciate it, but I didn't commit like Jerry did. Once he started experiencing things and hearing Amon Ra speak and Karanga, and he started getting involved, he couldn't help but to commit, to learn more, to study more, to write, to travel and get around people, be around groups and stuff like that. And then from that, that was the passion that he showed. He started speaking. He started bringing other people in. He was, like you said, for a while, Rose's right-hand person, and then took over. And it was that leadership. The one thing he did, he said, okay, Michael, if you're not going to get involved at the level I want you to get involved, do one, run for commissioner of concerts. Go to the Senate and run for commissioner of concert and get us some money to help throw us some stuff. And that's exactly what I did. I went and became commissioner of concerts, and we got budgets, and I had to sling it around, and we made it work. And I think that was what helped set Ayana and him up with the first reggae festival, from me, that relationship I had in the Senate and pushing money that way. But it was just my friendship, a lifetime friendship that I experienced with Jerry. It seemed like my strength was his weaknesses and his strength were my weaknesses. And that made for a long lasting friendship that throughout our whole life, from the fifth grade onto his passing, we uplifted each other, opened doors for each other, made sure everything was right. And I share it, we're talking about Jerry now, but Charles was also a part of that. I mean, they were more than brothers, just like Reggie and Daryl, my brothers, they were more than just friends. And I think that experience, I get emotional, that experience.
Come on.
All right.
Brother from another mother.
Take your time.
It's what made us all love each other. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? It's yep. Jerry's leadership in that period in time and his passion mm-hmm. and his loyalty and what he would not let nobody fail. No matter if my attention was over here, if you guys needed something over here, if you like, Michael, you got to come help us with this. And it, I miss him so much, but I'm so glad that I had him. He was a super important person. And I've told his kids, Mike, I said, your father left a legacy, and he left a loyalty, loving legacy of friends and education. Like everybody says, he was always there. And God bless him for being in my life. And God bless him for putting us all together. And Amon-Ra, I can't thank you enough for this. And for Reed and Mashariki, it's timely. I think we're at the age and stage right now, we can't take anything for granted. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got a new philosophy. If I think of a person three times, I'm reaching out. And I'm glad that you guys did this. I've seen Mike Nardone, Shag Daddy, whose mic is not working right now, so he can't chime in. It's good to see everybody. And just know that I love you. I love Jerry. Charlie, it's on you before I break down.
Brother Mike, thank you for setting the table, man. It's just, I couldn't have expressed it the way you did, so I'm glad that it kind of went that way. You know, I kind of come with the, I feel like a unique perspective in the room right now, because I believe, if I'm not wrong, I'm probably the person who's known Jerry the longest on this call right now. You know, I think we first met at a sandbox and a swing in local park at 4 years old, you know.
Wow.
And, you know, we were at different schools, so we didn't really hang out, but when we got in school, but I think, you know, once next time was Little League Baseball, you know, third, fourth grade. You know, Jerry, his father was bigger than life. You know, they looked just like each other. Like, if you see Jerry's father, you see Jerry. It's just amazing. And, you know, I remember running into him at the Little League Baseball, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's that guy, but he's grown up. Ah, but this is dad. Wow, you know. You know, and then we were in school with Michael. Jerry and I all met up, you know, in the fifth grade. You know, Jerry always had a connection to music. You know, he used to play the drums. We were in jazz band together in seventh grade, went separate ways in high school because he went to Catholic school. But it was interesting because our connection, I mean, Michael and I would connect, you know, Michael and I were together almost every day, right? And Jerry would come around a little occasionally because he lived kind of, there was a major thoroughfare that kind of split our houses. And so, but he would, so he'd come around every now and then, but, his sister went to our high school, and one day I had some concert tickets, trying to sell one to her. She was like, oh, I can't go. Why don't you call my brother? And so I think we were in probably the 11th grade, maybe. Yeah, it's 11th grade. And it was a Brothers Johnson concert in San Francisco at the Moscone Center, top of California. Oh my God, we lost our mind at that concert. And ever from that day forward, we were inseparable. You know, and Jerry was always more driven than I was. You know, I was kind of a little aloof, you know, whatever, just not really academically driven or anything like that. But he was like, man, we got to, you know, get ready. So, like, he was the one that got, he's like, yo, we need to sign up and go take the SAT test. I'm like, SAT? Oh, shoot, okay. I haven't prepared. Man, just go take it, you know? Like, he basically literally was, I kind of took it for granted I was going to college, but he was the inspiration behind, like, dude, we got to do these steps to get into college. You know, and, you know, we ended up coming out of Long Beach together. I think he wanted to go to Berkeley, right? That was his focus. But it didn't happen for whatever reason. I don't remember the details around that, but we ended up coming to Long Beach together. We had a lot of family, you know, people from El Cerrito that were already there or going there, like Andrea and Sharon and Denise was already there. And, you know, just all these folks that from our our high school, let alone people that we already knew. Karen, Mashariki was already there, and we knew her brothers. And so, yeah, that was kind of that whole journey. It was just so impactful and insightful. Watching Jerry grow when we got to campus was interesting because I was just consumed with being on lower campus doing my thing in that program. But Jerry, we'd come home at night and he would just have all this information like, dude, we got to do this. Did you know about this? I was like, I have no awareness. And so, similar to Michael, I have a similar story. It's like, well, you can't get involved as much as I am. Well, at least do this. Run for, Associated Senate. And the thing that I trip off the most is he was only there for 2 years, right? He was only in Long Beach with us for 2 years, but it felt like a much longer period of time. The impact that he had, and the influence, and how many people he touched. And that's, 2 years is not a long period of time, right? But it just felt like an eternity, like, the way that he had a chance to make an influence and impact. And so, yeah, it was just a blessing to be his roommate and, friend and, confidant during that period of time and just see that journey. A lot of it is a blur. Obviously, he and Michael experienced a lot more of that together because they were upper campus. They were doing things together. I'm like kind of my head down. So didn't get to experience as much of it, but they kept me in the loop. And when Michael came down the next year, it was no question. Similar to Fareed with his green car. I think Michael had the white white car. I was
Ex-police
on.
car.
So yeah, it was. But that, and the other thing I want to share is that back in those days when we were growing up in high school, the one thing I noticed that carried throughout his arc was we would dream and we would dream big, and we didn't feel like there was anything that could stop us. And as big as I would dream, he would dream even bigger. He used to joke about, I'm going to buy the Dodgers and move them up to the Bay Area. I'm like, dude, that can't happen. But he would just say it like, I'm going to make it happen, but that was the kind of drive that he had about things in
That's
life,
funny.
right? So starting Poetic Groove, I see the Poetess and Mark Nadone on here, it's like that was a big dream, right? That was a big dream. Who was doing that? At that time, especially in a consciousness way, so that is the one thing that I just really embrace about Jerry, and it's just great listening to how he's touched everyone, and I'm gonna pass the torch to the next person and just let them share.
Okay.
The one thing I want to just say before I do that is his approach to learning was very unique. Like a lot of folk people approach learning from a transactional standpoint, right? I'm going to go to college, get this degree so I can go out and do XYZ. Jerry didn't approach education that way, right? It was about knowledge and exposure. It was about the true university experience, and it was very unique. In a way, I mean, I think for you had some of that. I think, with the awakening and stuff. But Jerry just, it was just in him from early, like I said, back in high school. So kind of Du Boisian in a way, it's like, let's just expand our minds and then, let that take us where we need to go. But that was Jerry. That was Jerry,
Gotcha.
So thank you all for giving me a moment to share.
Thank you, Charlie.
Oh yeah, always welcome, always welcome, and thank you for introducing the nod about Jerry going into to business, particularly in music. So I want to invite the POTUS and Mike Nardone, and I have a letter that a statement that Shaq Daddy wants us to read since he's unable to communicate directly. So I'll read that letter shortly. But POTUS, I want you to talk about your experience with Jerry Davis, and Mike Nardone, if you're still on, I want you to chime in and share some of the information there. We'll move around and talk to Jason Brown, who also worked with Jerry when he was at Fox. So now we're going to talk a little bit about Poetic Groove Records and what it meant to you guys and what you experienced while there with Jerry. Poetic?
Okay. I believe I met Jerry at when he worked at ASCAP. And I was trying to get a record deal. I went to almost every label in L.A. But when Jerry started Poetic Groove, he had me in mind. In fact, he signed me over Cypress Hill. and
at the time.
Go ahead.
It made sense at the time, definitely.
Huh, I didn't hear you.
I said it made sense at the time, what you were doing versus what they were doing at the time.
Yes. But Jerry has always been supportive throughout my whole career. We were friends before I signed to his label. I remember Jerry actually introduced me also to Digital Underground when they were first starting out. We'd all kind of congregate over to Jerry's house. But when I signed to his label, I will say we bumped heads a lot. And we fought, and we didn't always agree on things, but our friendship survived all of that. And when I went on to pursue my career in radio and now podcasting, I started my podcast studio back in 2014, and I didn't have not one stitch of equipment in there. I was paying leasing a building that I believed in and knew it was the spot I wanted to be in. And then one day Jerry called me and he was like, hey, my son-in-law, who is Kid Inc., is doing this this gaming contest, and if he wins this $10,000, I wanted him to, you know, donate it to your studio. And so Kid Inc. did win the $10,000, and Jerry had the money donated to my studio, and I was able to buy my first set of equipment, my mixer, my mics, all the things I needed to actually get started at the studio. And then after I did start the studio, Jerry taught a couple of publishing classes there. I posted a couple pictures in the chat where he was doing a one-on-one with one of the artists that wanted to really learn about publishing. But Jerry has always been an important part of my life. I've known Jerry, over 30 something years. And just before he passed, we had reconnected and talked on the phone more often than we usually did. And he was telling me about the change in his life, and he just beamed with pride about his kids. And I just love Jerry. I was absolutely shocked when I heard he passed away. Somebody called me and said, Jerry passed, and I was like, Jerry who? You know, because I believed I had just talked to Jerry like days before that. And so it was a shock and a definite heartbreak, and I will always be grateful to him for always supporting me throughout my career. So rest in peace, Jerry. We love and miss you.
Thank you for that. Mike Nardone, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. This is
good. There's some reflection.
Very interesting. Thank you for having me. So I had two stories, but really, so Jerry hired me sort of sight unseen, unknown. Like, we didn't know each other. I didn't have any experience in the music industry. I was a college radio DJ. I was striving to get into a label. So he hired me. Awesome. Similar sort of what Poetess was talking about, and several people have talked about the publishing thing. So he hires me. I don't know a thing about publishing, and he very patiently, I think this goes back to the Epic thing, you know, we're talking about Long Beach State and so forth. He very patiently explained it to me. I was so green, I had no idea. So it wasn't just a this equals this, and this is how it all works out, because there's so many variables, there's so many, and I had questions. So he took time out of his day one day. He had no reason to, but did. I always appreciated that. I always think back on that fondly. And then I think the other thing that really struck me about him was his, once he was committed, like his passion to a project, that State of Emergency project. He had obviously lost his distribution with Interscope, but still was like, I'm doing this by any means necessary, right? And ended up landing it through Motown. And I just think that speaks to the man, to the individual, to the person. And it sort of is echoed in a different way from what all you guys have said for the last hour plus.
And good to see you, man.
You too. Absolutely. Good to see everyone I know and everyone else.
I'm going to call you Green Beard right now, but I shaved mine off. But I see you. Yeah, Jerry also had a very successful career at ASCAP, American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers. And I used to visit his office on Sunset from time to time, where he made some significant inroads into black music and particularly rap music for ASCAP at that time. One of the things, I remember many things there. Speaking of Cypress Hill, I was the first one through Jerry I was running and managing and promoting clubs at the time in Hollywood. And he was able to connect me with Cypress Hill and Mellow Man Ace and some of the people of the day. And I was the first one to put them in Hollywood Club for performance. So I remember that vividly. And every time I come across B-Real, we kind of reconnect there. So Jerry did that for me. And another thing he did that just one of the many things, he played in his office 6 months before it came to the marketplace. He played N.W.A. for me. I didn't understand it or get it. All I'm hearing is a bunch of brothers going at it the way N.W.A. went at it 6 months before it came to the market. And I'm like, who's going to play this? Where's this going to go? And he just start infusing positively about where the direction of music's going and about the West Coast music and this and that. And he did that a couple of times with a couple of different artists. And he always enlightened me and excited me about that space. So I can definitely share that with you. And I want to read now the letter that Shaq Daddy wrote. He can't communicate it directly. So if you don't mind, let me get over there and share what he wrote so you can kind of hear, because he's got a great history with Jerry as well, and this is important to him. All right. He says, to the contributors and participants of this podcast, I regret to inform you that because of, okay, he has some hardware problems, so he's not able to communicate through his laptop, and he asked me to reach out and share this. I have crafted and hoped this adds some joy and context to who Jerry Davis was and the long friendship we shared even after our days working together when he worked with him at Poetic Groove and Interscope Records. He says he first met Jerry in 1991, fresh out of college. He moved to L.A. to seek employment and work in the recording industry. Prior to moving to L.A., Shaq worked at several years at club marketing rep with Sony Music in the Midwest and the Southwest, acting as a liaison between artists and concert venues, as well as nightclubs. So this obviously was a point of reference between he and Jerry. It was all about a creative vibe on the club level, getting these songs played and things like that. It made transition to radio that much easier when it was time to get the songs added to rotations. He also worked, I'm talking about Shaq, worked with Sony and supported all the artists on their affiliate labels, and did a lot there. He met Jerry through a roommate at the time as he was shooting music videos for one of their artists, Almighty and Cuddy Rank. I believe that was a Poetic Groove artist. Jerry and I hit it off, and after several conversations, he decided to bring me aboard as an independent rep and to assist with the progression of his vision at Poetic Groove Records. During his time there with Jerry, he planned and supervised promotional tours with their artists, was also the liaison between the label and WEA distribution. And he traveled quite a bit to build many relationships in the field to support Poetic Groove and Jerry's efforts and labels and activities there. One of the many highlights was being involved with one of the new talents, the Poetess, at the time. So he's excited also about the Poetess, who he's also blessed to have a relationship with today. Shag Daddy goes on to say that Jerry was a visionary and he was about social justice, all about social justice. He was very insightful and acted as a mentor to Shag. Over the years, we shared a lot of laughter together, always treating me like a brother, always opening doors for me, always including me in important conversations. He listened to my opinions. So Shaq feels fortunate to have been a part of the many in-depth educational conversations with Jerry and his network. He was a great, called Jerry a great listener, a great communicator, and always had a great story to share, which made him laugh. And Shaq, like many of us here, miss him dearly. One of the many, other many things that Shaq shared with Jerry was that although he shared together was an appreciation for sport, as I shared with Jerry as well. Many of you know Jerry was a track guy, track and field guy. We love to chop it up talking about football and all the great wide receivers. He was a diehard 49er fan, loved going to the colleges and watching all the sprinters and long-distance runners compete. All right, Shaq goes on to say, I acknowledge that Jerry learned during his time in music publishing, what he learned was immense. He taught Shaq a lot about the business. He mentored him and showed him many of the ropes to be in the music business, particularly in the West Coast. He took Shaq under his wing and shaped Shaq to be the part of the man that he is today. With regards to it, he was at large, we were both hip-hop junkies and were always listening to the newest and latest. All of the old school joints and everything along those lines. Although Jerry and I were able to develop some long-lasting friendships, such as the likes of many of you on this call, he mentions myself, DJ Utaka, Nardone, Poetess, Michael, and just a few. This means something to him. He holds on to that, and he treats it as being dear. It's all about our responsibility to continue to carry on the legacy of Jerry, and this is the legacy we're talking about here. He was one of the good guys. His passion ran so deep in so many spaces. He always tried to his best to be there for everybody, which is why I entitled this podcast as Jerry Davis, I'm Here for You. He worked on behalf of his employees, his friends, his children, all of his children, and he cared so much about the people that he worked around with and the people that he viewed as important to him. Shaq views himself as being very fortunate to have known Jerry and will continue to honor him in any way he can. And I feel him shine, feels Jerry shining down on him as we like to believe he shines down on all of us. He'll do his best to continue to make him proud of Shaq's efforts and the person he is today. Rest in peace, JD. You're still a part of the tapestry that shaped my life and will always be, says Shaq Daddy.
All right.
So I want to move on for a bit. There's another young man on here that had some opportunity to shape his growth in the industry, and that is, where's this young man from Fox?
Would that be me, Jason Brown?
That would be Jason Brown. There you are, young man. Let's talk a little bit about your experience with Jerry at Fox Sports.
No, absolutely. First and foremost, would like to say just honored to be here amongst the rest of you. Definitely didn't know Jerry as intimately as you guys did. But hearing all of the stories from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, sharing cars, BSU, music, NWA, all of these stories just illustrate and gave me that much more of an understanding of how and why Jerry was the way that he was. So it was just really important and valuable to hear that. So I wanted to thank each of you guys for sharing those stories and allowing me to share mine as well. And I'm going to kind of give you a disjointed story because it'll make more sense. And I'm going to have to tell you a little bit more about myself. I hate talking about myself, but it'll all make sense when I finish. So I've been very blessed to have God put amazing people in my life, to also create or just to open doors for amazing opportunities. And throughout my corporate career, most recently, I was elected to or nominated from Forbes as one of the entrepreneurial CMOs when I was CMO at a tech startup. I was VP of marketing at Foot Locker, Champs Sports, East Bay, and Foot Locker. I launched the NBA partnership for Pepsi, working with the league, athletes, et cetera. Number of different teams. I worked at NBC Sports and Red Bull. So you can see I had this passion for sports, culture, et cetera, et cetera. But I got that start because I had a passion for music and I was dating this young lady. Somehow, this young lady connected me to Barry. And somehow Barry just really took in a liking to me and wanted to make sure that I succeeded. He knew that music was something that was really, really important to me. I wanted to have a career in music. And the funny thing is, Mike Nardone, I don't know if you remember this, but I was managing a group called Blue Collar. We were doing independent music in Los Angeles. And one of our first interviews was actually on Mike Nardone's show. And we thought we were literally on top of the world, gonna go platinum. So it's just very funny and I guess not ironic that we would both know Jerry in the way that we do. But back to Barry, I'm doing independent music at this time. I want to continue to work in music. Barry connects me to Jerry because Jerry is hiring for an intern at Fox Sports Music. So my thought process is like, oh my God, I could work in television, I could work in sports, and I could work in music. I go interview with Jerry, and he's asked me, so like, hey man, what are you trying to do? And I have my suit on, I'm 20, 19, 20 years old. Sir, I want to use my experiences to achieve company objectives, da 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 da. And he was like, all right, bro, you can cut the shit now. Like, what do you really want to do? And when I told him, I still kind of it was still very similar, but I thought I have a passion for music to all those things. And something happened. I don't remember what it was after the interview. I think they had to hire internally. I wasn't able to get the job with Jerry in the music department, but he was like, "No, what, man? I like you, and I'm going to connect you to this human resources person." And that human resources person ended up getting me a job at Fox Cable Networks, where I was in the integrated marketing department for Fox Cable Networks. I did that for about 2 years. Then I got a job working for Fuel TV, which was an action sports network that was also owned by Fox. And then that led to what I was just telling you guys about in terms of NBC and all of those other companies that I worked with. But Barry connecting me to Jerry, and then Jerry saying, hey, you know what? I like you. I want to change the trajectory of your life and put you down this path. I wouldn't be where I am now. I wouldn't have the community of people that I do. I could go on and on and on and on and on and on about where I could have been if I wouldn't have met Jerry. And throughout my time, so I stayed at Fox about almost 7 years. And as you guys can imagine, there weren't a lot of people of color at Fox. You know what I mean? So he was definitely someone that I could always tap into. And as Barry and I talked about this as well, there was also, a level of responsibility and accountability that I took upon because Jerry put his name on the line for me to have a job there. So the last thing I could do is have him looking bad. And it made me proud that I felt as though I did a pretty good job while I was there. And we would always keep in contact and I would always try to return the favor for him. And I think the last thing I'll probably lead it with as well is the fact that now, in addition to me having, six nephew or nine nephews and nieces, sitting on the board of a handful of nonprofit organizations, I try to also pay it forward in the same exact way that Jerry and Barry and a number of other people that looked out for me. So to whomever said it earlier in terms of Jerry's spirit living on, hopefully I'm a living example of that in the work that I'm doing and the effort that I put into the universe and the next generation. Is a manifestation of that. So that's my quick, probably not quick, but I'll just call it my Jerry story. And
Very good.
Relationship
very,
with him.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. So,
absolutely.
Ernest, you've been sitting and just kind of taking it all in. If you've got some contribution to speak to the good fellow we call Jerry Nadja Jabari Davis, we'd love to hear from you.
Well, I really didn't know him because I'm very interested in all of this because I went to Cal State Long Beach 63 to 65.
Just a few days before the rest of us.
And then yeah. I didn't have any trouble on campus, so to speak, because I was on the football team. So I played football those 2 years, ran track. And then after that, I quit in 65. And then I came back and, you know, went at night school. So I wasn't exposed to the BSU and Armand Ra, but I kind of met Mr. Ra through an uncle of mine, because I had an uncle like 10 years younger than me, went to Cal State Long Beach, and I think he was in the Black Studies program. So that's how, and then Armand Ra, my dad, owned some apartments in Long Beach, and a lot of the students from Cal State Long Beach, a guy named Mohair used to live back there, and Armand Ra and them used to be back there with him when they were students playing the basketball and all that, because my uncle played basketball. So I kind of, all the BSU and stuff, you know, after I was gone, so I'm kind of catching up to the crowd right now about Black studies in general. So,
okay. Go ahead.
So that's really interesting to me because my input, kind of my dad was civil rights fighter in Long Beach and founded the Long Beach branch NAACP in 1940. And then I and my family, we used to do picket lines and all that, demonstrate for jobs for Blacks, you know, open up a lot of industry in Long Beach. So, you know, the police department, fire department, and city employees for Blacks. So we was kind of at that end, and then the youth, you know, you guys, the different movement that came up because, you know, they were talking about Professor Muhammad, you were talking about the Kwanzaa leader that invented Kwanzaa.
Dr. Karenga.
Well, I remember he had a different name before he changed his name to Karenga.
Right.
A midnight show used to come on at midnight. Boy, my wife, we would stay up every night because he was always a guest on that show. And we would say, man, this gentleman, he is really giving them hell, you know. So we used to, and so that was kind of our involvement there. So,
okay. Thank you for sharing it. I want to bring it back around to, at a minimum, you can smile and revel in the fact that the people who came behind you at Long Beach State, they were about the same things you were about and about moving the proverbial needle and advancing our people. These young folks that came behind you are older now, but these are the people that definitely followed in those footsteps. So thank you for being here and just taking it into one of our good fellow brothers. I want to kind of wind it up.
Keep the fight going, yeah.
Yes, I want to kind of wind it up. We are at the end of the time slot. I want to appreciate and thank all of you on behalf of Barry Thomas who didn't join us, but is definitely here in every way, shape, and form. My Shariki, if you got some closing comments, you can definitely chime in and share those as well. Two things, and I'll sign off personally. First off, I want to continue to give thanks to you, Professor Raw. I don't have enough thanks to offer you. I if I had an ocean of them, they're not enough because of what you did and the people on this podcast to restate my vision, my purpose, my life, my North Star. And quite frankly, I would not have gotten out of Long Beach without you because you elevated my GPA. I won't tell the truth.
It was reparations.
But you elevated my IQ much more than my GPA. So that's the real benefit of everything that happened there. Mike Siriki, closing comments?
Yeah, well, let me just back it up. Barry's been on here the whole time. He's on my phone listening. So he has been here. He just can't hear him talk. And I just want to thank everybody for sharing Jerry's stories. He was special to all of us. We are all very grateful to have him in our lives. And what a difference that one person in that short period made in all of our lives, and we need more people like Jerry.
Hey, Brother Faree.
Yes, sir.
Let me just make a couple of comments about Jerry. Mm-hmm. He was very unique in his leadership style and in his friendship style, because when many of you came there, y'all came a little raw, a little rough. You know, you didn't mean to get involved in a lot of things. You ended up getting involved there. And I think that Jerry was, at that time, he was following in the footsteps of some people that preceded him. You created a culture of awareness and of love of each other. It wasn't about hating white people. It was about loving each other, loving black people, looking for the best in black people, even those that were, as Rose would call them, the unconscious. We still counted them as a part of the mix. You had Charles Walker, the National Society of Black Engineers, downstairs. I think it was y'all that made an atmosphere where all black organizations came up under the umbrella of the Black Student Union. There were, you know, Black Psychology Association, Black Business Association students, and all of them were part of that network. I mean, in other words, you organized where you were. And Jerry was a part of that network, and he brought leadership, a unique style of leadership, soft-spoken, smooth, and you know, it was just a beautiful thing to see how you operated. Brother Thibidi, Daryl Grayson, and Salama, and all of them that were part of that network, Maja Liwa, that sister, and all of them. And, you know, you have programs, not just the Black Continents Conference, not just Black History Month, not just Juneteenth, but you have programs year-round. A lot of the guest speakers and entertainment that you brought on campus for the students, we extrapolated from that money from the student union, from the associate students with Barry and Charles, and putting them in key positions and giving them the strength. I mean, our unity represented strength, and staying together kept Black Studies going, because we was always under attack. But we was able to get money from the student body to put on these programs, to have the Black Conscience Conference and bring speakers from around the country here to speak. That was not easy. You don't see that today. You know, the Black Conscience Conference today and the Black students today, they say they haven't experienced racism. And it's a new generation, and you have that. But your legacy of when you go places, people say, by the way you talk and carry yourself, you must have went to Long Beach State. Because you brought that consciousness wherever you went, people would say that. And we can't say enough about Michael Williams and how he opened up his house for y'all to get together. I went out there one time, I didn't know where the hell I was going. He said, I had to get somebody to help me get back. I never left Compton or Watts, you know, I mean, Long Beach, you know. And Mike, he had such a beautiful home. His wife, he opened it up for all of us to come together and have a reunion. And I think he had two or three events there. I only went to one that I remember. I may have went to two. But I have a couple of pictures of all of us together. Those are times to remember. The last time I saw Jerry, he came out to Cal State Long Beach to the Black Student Union President's Conference, or the History of the Black Student Union Presidents and Student Leaders. And they were celebrating all those leaders. And of course, he was there. And we took pictures together. Craig Hodges was there. There was a lot of people there. And he was telling me about all the things that he was doing and things of this nature. The Black Consciousness Conference was really, when we went to the State of the Race Conference in Oakland, it was in Oakland at Castlegate, the Castlemont High School. And then we went to Jerry's mother's house on the way because it was somewhere. I don't know how we got there, you know, but we got there. We took a delegation of students there. And then on the way home, we got on this some kind of jet called Black World Airlines or something. And it got so much turbulence, and Rhodes got to screaming and hollering, thought we were going to die. And so when we landed, we said, you know, let's put on the conference. And that's how the Black Consciousness got started. All of y'all that were in the BSU is the ones that helped institutionalize a program that's still in existence. And even though the BSU is not what it was when y'all was there, it's still there, so it's an opportunity for it to come in real cycle. But Jerry's leadership, along with his companionship, I remember, I don't know if y'all remember, Free, I remember, we had Dr. Robert Staples there at the Sir Robin's house. And it was a Black male-female relationship. And y'all had there was three of you that got up there. I think it was Fareed, Jerry, and somebody else. You understand? But anyway, it was such a beautiful affair. And they wanted me to get y'all off so they could start with Staples and Ma Lana doing the workshop. I wouldn't do it. They said, man, we come here to get the workshop. No. Let the students run it. And y'all ran it. And see, the Black movement at Cal State Long Beach was student-driven. It wasn't faculty-driven. And Mr. McBride, who was just on, his daughter, his brother married the first, was married to the first secretary of Black Studies, Linda Croom. You understand? I mean, there's a rich history we have. And Jerry was a part of that history. Y'all did so much. And such, you developed a constitution for the BSU, a pledge for the BSU. You created the Black Consciousness Conference. You created a culture that when students came with Freddie Davis and Don Duren, Freddie Jet Davis and Don Duren, y'all was able to get other students in school and you exposed them in a sister and brotherhood. And, you know, you had your challenges off campus and things of this nature. As we get older, we look back on things. And my health ain't what it used to be. I would have been at a number of micro events if I could get around like I used to. I can't get around. I talked to Dr. Sansalo. We had Dr. Sansalo, Vernell De Silva, at that time, Yolanda Reed. We had a number of conscious teachers, too, that was there. And it's all because of y'all that set the tone that we're able to, it's called Africana Studies now, Black Studies. And that's because they want to make it more inclusive. Black Studies was more about Black students, Black people in the United States, but they wanted to make it more Pan-Africanist. Jerry was a part of that movement. And he loved his kids, he bragged about his kids. I think one of his daughters was on one of those shows, I forget what they called them. But anyway, he was very proud of that. And he had his son in the music. He was the music person for sports. I think it was ESPN or one of them. Help me, Michael. ESPN or something.
Mike D's worked.
Sports Center.
Fox Sports.
Yeah, Fox Sports. He put the music together. Was responsible for it. He did so many things after he left. But his legacy there, where he learned how to work with people. See, working with people is not easy. With a machine, you can cut it off when you get mad at it. But people is the most difficult thing to work with. And maintaining long-lasting and lifetime relationships is a blessing. And I love to see how y'all get together, how y'all stay together. Brother Barry and me, we're going through health challenges, Barry Tomlinson, man. He don't mind me saying that. And he's going through challenges. I'm going through challenges. We talk every night. And, you know, I talk to all y'all every night if I had numbers. So if you share your number, You can get mine, 310-505-2358. 310-505-2358. And I just want to tell y'all how much I love y'all. But above all, we need to have other tributes. We should need to have one for Hakeem. And we need to get Denifu back on and share those experiences and relive them and uplift each other. And Jen Jay and her sons that went into reggae music. And Ayana, she had a sister. I can't remember her sister name. But her sister was at Cal State. She was a part of the movement. There's so many people that y'all cultivated each other. I didn't even know y'all went to saw some Rocky movie. I said, wow. You understand? But if it made you closer together, I don't care what you went and did. I'm just proud of each and every one of you, what y'all have done, what you're doing, and what you got your children doing, and hopefully you have your grandchildren doing. But we must teach them our history. Teach them the struggles. Teach them. I quit trying to protect them, from like our parents protected us. They didn't want to talk about being on plant, our great grandparents on plantations and what they went through. That's why so many of the kids today think life was the way it is for them today. It was like this all the time. Every inch, as I conclude, of freedom that we have. And I even mentioned the Ron Settles case, how we liberalized Signal Hill. At one time, black people couldn't even drive through Signal Hill.
It was crazy.
We had the biggest demonstration.
We did.
At Signal Hill. But we also had Roland Peterson before that. Mm-hmm. He was a capper. And that was in 1972. That was one of the first major rallies. But anyway, to say.
And we also had Eula Love, and after that, Latasha Harlins. You had us out there.
We had a few. Hey,
that's another thing, as Rose said. We went to other campuses, and Jerry helped bring other campuses here. When we first started the Black Conscience Conference, BSUs from all over the state came to it. Mm-hmm. And that was because of y'all leadership, and especially Jerry's and your vision. And I'm forever grateful personally, because not only did y'all learn from me, I learned from you, watching y'all grow, watching you develop. And above all, listening to you. If I didn't hear your words, I'd listen to your heart and your spirit. And like I said, me and Dr. Allen talk a lot. I had her son on my podcast. Any of you that want to get on a Zoom and talk about what you're doing or just discuss an issue, you're welcome. I'm on every Tuesday at 6:00. At this number. As a matter of fact, we constantly have that every Tuesday. And like I said, I'm changing the name from Conscious Corner to Black Consciousness Corner. And that's because we're going to start back lifting the consciousness of our people through education and through taking positions and things of this nature. But that whole concept of consciousness came from y'all. And Jerry was one of the ones that spearheaded it. So, Fareed, I want to thank you for putting this together. You worked hard, brother.
That's my Tariqi, and that's Barry as well.
Oh, yeah, all y'all.
It has always been a collective. It will always be a collective effort when we do the things we do together. Always.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right, we don't want to keep people... I know some of y'all back east, Rose, them, and y'all got to work. This is Tuesday, and you got to go do your thing. So, Fareed, you can go ahead and close us out.
I got one last question for the collective that are still here. Now, I'm one, Mike's two, Charlie's three, Mike Siriki's four. Who else lived with Jerry Davis? Again, thank you all. Thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of our hearts to the top of our spirits. You're there. You lifted us up. I'm hoping that we lifted Jerry's spirit up, you know, in a big way because he means something as all of you mean something. So thank you, and thank all of you.
Thank y'all. Love y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Michael Williams, let's stay close, brother.
Oh, yeah, I hit you up. I'm coming out there.
All right.
I'll see you, all right?
And thanks for when you was at Motown, you hooked me up with all that music.
Sent you them CDs.
CDs. Boy, that was a beautiful thing in them days.
I love you, man.
Never forget that, brother.
We love you. Dr. Raw. We love you.
Hey,
her angels are up for Dr. Raw and Mary Thomas. So we're there. We hold you up. All right, colleagues, have an all good evening till we see and get with you again down the road.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to have some for Irving Hurt.
Irving Hakeem.
Sounds
yeah.
good. Until all right. next time.
All right.
Much
God bless.
Give thanks.
All right.
All right.
Utah Nada.
Utah Nada.